As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
.755 is real with David O'Brien and Erica Flaherty is on the air now. Welcome to 755 is Real, presented by Topps. Check out Topps Project 70, celebrating 70 years of Topps baseball cards. I'm with my co-host, Erica Flaherty, former Braves reliever. What's going on, Eric?
Nothing. Friday morning. I think we're leaving town tonight.
You're leaving town tonight?
Maybe. I told my wife, she always asks if we can go on trips. I'm like, I mean, I'm not going to plan it, but if you book something, I'll drive. So we'll find out in about an hour.
Well, I'm on your time, man, so it's early.
Yeah.
Not that early. Not, what, 10 o'clock now, so. But I've been doing a lot of crack research, so I've been up a long time here.
Crack research?
Research and crack. right. Yeah, no, that's not good. The Braves are about to tee it up on the most important trip. I know we've said that a few times, but there have been some most important trips previously. This is the one now that becomes the most important because of where they sit in the standings and how little time's left. Obviously, you can't really afford to fall on your face if Philly or even New York, if one of them happens to get hot for a week, you could find yourselves looking up again in the standings. So the Braves can't really afford to slip any more than they have. The lead is still 3 games over Philly. I mean, they're still relatively comfortable with, 19 games left. But losing back-to-back games against the Rockies didn't help. I know the Rockies are playing a lot better, but still. You lost both games against the Rockies in the series this week, and then you had Thursday's game rained out. I tell you what, I think that rain out, not being able to play a sloppy field.
I was thinking the same thing.
I think it's going to help the Braves catching their breath before they start. They were in a stretch of 13 games in 13 days, plus the suspended game they have to finish. So that kind of gave them a quick chance to catch a breath and also to skip the fifth starter this weekend against the Giants. Don't have to turn to Smiley or Tukey or Kyle Muller or whoever it was going to have to be Sunday. Instead, the Braves going to get their best 3 pitchers going against the Giants.
I was thinking too, just getting out of town earlier. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what time they canceled the game.
True.
But
yeah, it was early.
A lot of times that helps you get over to the West Coast. I mean, it's a long flight. I think it's about 3.5-4 hours from there. So you wind up getting into town with time to eat some dinner versus a normal game. It can really drag and catch up with you. But it was a day game. Either way, though, just getting out of there quick's nice.
Yeah, they were out of there by early afternoon, though. Yeah. They pushed it back to 2, and finally they just banged it. And so I would imagine they got on the road by 3:30.
Yeah.
Something like that. Instead of 7 or whatever. So, yeah, the flight's closer to 4.5 from to San Francisco. LA, it's a little shorter, but it's a commercial, at least it's 4.5 to here coming from Atlanta.
Yeah. I mean, that's a long trip too, to the West Coast this late in the year. That just came off a West Coast trip. I mean, this will be a tough push for them, but
so
got to make it happen. Phillies are scaring me a little bit with the way Harper's swinging the bat.
Yeah. Yep. Harper's playing great lately. He certainly is strengthening his bid for MVP.
Yeah.
Yeah, his numbers are pretty, getting up there pretty good. The only thing he doesn't have is RBIs, and they're coming up a little bit too. But the rest of his stats are really strong.
Yeah.
So, you know, and Riley has slipped a little bit in the last few weeks. Freddie's numbers aren't quite where they were. So it's going to be interesting. I think those two were, you know, not leading candidates anyway, but they had shot. But they've slipped. They've slipped as far as from what I could tell, listening to people, talking to people, sounds like Tatis still is a front runner, but Harper's put himself right there with him.
Yeah.
So anyway, they'll be able to, the Braves were able to push back Ian Anderson. Instead of going Thursday against the Rockies, he'll now go in tonight's series opener here in San Francisco. So that's good. They're going to be able to go against the Giants here on their turf with the Braves' best three pitchers going. So it's going to be interesting. Charlie going Saturday. Max Fried going Sunday in the series finale. These are going to be some good games, I think.
Going to be good games. I think the most fun series I ever played in, well, I didn't get to play, I was hurt, but ever watched or was a part of was that 2010 series we played at San Francisco and then brought it back, you know, the playoffs when we brought it back to our place. But they were doing something with, they had the music locked in, the fans were going crazy. Lincecum struck out like 15 against us. It was probably the best baseball atmosphere I've ever seen.
Brian Wilson closing.
Yep.
Yeah. When he entered that whole thing, jump around playing with Brian Wilson, his face up with the beard up on the big screen. I agree. It was so charged. God, it was a lot of energy in this ballpark.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to this will be the first time I've been out here with them good again.
Yeah.
In a few years.
Yeah.
Cause it really got pretty, you know, she still got the most beautiful ballpark in the baseball, but the crowds were about half the size they were in those days, and they just weren't energized because the Giants haven't been good. So from what I understand, they're pretty close to getting back to being close to full again. And you've seen on TV against the Dodgers, a couple of these games have been,
they've been
electric here. Yeah. Again. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to that for sure. These guys are obviously still playing for plenty. I mean, they want to hang on and win the division. They've led it all year. So they've done a good job of holding off the Dodgers. Every time you think that the Dodgers are going to get hot and catch them, the Giants have a great stretch, a great series, and
they got a still one game lead.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so you know they're going to get, the Braves are going to see their best. I mean, they're playing. They got everything on the line here. They don't want to play that wild card game.
Nobody wants to play that wild card game.
Nobody.
Anything can happen.
Nobody except the teams like the Reds who are, you know they're not going to win the division and are trying to get in. They would love to get in the wild card game.
And I think that plays in your favor. I feel like, you know, if the Cardinals get in, I don't care who's pitching against them or what's happening. Like, I'd bet on the Cardinals to win somehow because they always seem to do it. But I think it works in the team's favor that doesn't necessarily deserve to be there. You know, like if you wind up playing the Dodgers and they win 99 games or something like that and you cruise in with 84 –
yeah,
it's like you got nothing to lose. You're playing with house money. And for them, it's like we just put together this great season. You know, there's a lot more pressure on them to win that game.
No doubt. I mean, the Dodgers are good enough they would win it anyway because they're pitching. Yeah. But, yeah, some teams get in there and go, we did all that for this. We got to play these guys, this crappy team, before we have to use one of our best pitchers before we actually open the postseason with a series.
Yep.
And then before you know it, they're down 3-0 in the second inning of the wild card game.
Yeah.
That's all it takes, man. One bad inning early in a wild card game. And it's like, then you're playing the rest of the game going, oh my God, we just played 162 games and it's over because
our pitcher had
a bad inning.
Or somebody made an error, or, you know, like our
infield
fly thing happened, which sucked, you know, just shit like that. Anything can happen in one game.
That night, God.
I mean, starters take losses. Scherzer's not undefeated, you know, stuff like that happens, but.
I'd like Wainwright in a wild card game. I'd like his chances.
Yeah, I think he'd show up.
Been there a few times.
Yeah,
it's amazing when you look at what Wainwright and Charlie Morton are both doing. Two of the best pitchers in the league this year, and Wainwright's about 2-3 years older than Charlie.
Mm-hmm.
Wainwright's 40.
Yeah, I don't know how
Charlie's be 38, and both still have great stuff. Charlie obviously throws about 7 miles an hour faster than Wainwright, but Wainwright's got that nasty curveball.
Yeah. I mean, that thing's always played. I see Freddie aging like those guys. You know, they're not big, bulky dudes. They're flexible and athletic, but that's kind of when I look at Freddie and see how I think he's going to age, I think he's going to age kind of like Charlie and Wainwright.
Yeah, Charlie and Wainwright even look, even have the same bodies. I mean, they're almost identical. They're like 6'4", 6'5", lanky guys, long arms.
Freddie too.
Yeah, yeah, for a first baseman, he sure is. So for what it's worth, everybody, you know, is dumping on him, losing two to the Rockies. But the Rockies have been a terrible team on the road most of the year, but they're playing a lot better in September, man. The games don't mean anything, but they're playing, actually playing better. They're 8-6 in September, 6-1 on the road. And that includes going to Philly and win 3 out of 4 against a Philly team that's got this playing for his playoff life. So they beat Philly's 3 out of 4. Then they took 2 from Atlanta. So they got to be feeling good about how they're finishing at least, but I sure had written them off. I mean, you thought we're just going to roll over them in the road.
Well, I'll tell you what game they're not going to bring their A game is if they have to fly back out to Atlanta at the end of the season.
The day after the season.
They'll have their apartments. They'll have their apartments packed, and you fly all the way across. You know, your numbers are, everything's there. You know how you did, and just go play a game to you that's meaningless. You know, I mean, it'd take a good manager to get his boys motivated to try to, you know, crush some dreams in that game, because they're a one game series on the road is a tough tough to get up for.
Yeah, as bad as that rainout was, and as much as you'd want, you know, the Braves to not have to play that game by having a big enough lead, it could have been so much worse if the game had been in Denver and the same thing happened.
Yeah,
because then the Braves would be flying to Denver to play the day after the season ended, trying to get into the playoffs. You know, it would have been awful.
And then you get in, you got to go somewhere else.
Straight from there to somewhere else. Yeah. So as it works out, I mean, it's really not that, you know, if the Braves had to play it, they're at home. The Rockies are going to have to come to them. And then the Braves are going to be going from there. They'll still have another day before the division series starts, I think.
Yeah, but, you want to know how it's going to turn out. You know, you'd like to have that game in the books already. But, I mean, if they wind up getting a free off day before a West Coast trip, and if the Rockies have to come back out the last day of the season – and the Rockies might have to, if it comes down to that, they might have to sit around their clubhouse and wait and see if they're playing tomorrow type of deal. Their minds are going to be, they're going to be checked out.
Imagine guys that are going to be like free agents and everything. This is your last game with the Rockies.
Yeah.
You're going to fly to Atlanta to play a game. But the Braves, of course, hope that it's not necessary. If they have a, you know, game and a half lead, then they're not going to have to play that game.
Right.
They would have to, they would just finish the season with 161, which, you know, it would suck if Duvall had 39 home runs, you know, or someone else had, you know, just short of 100 RBIs or something.
That game.
You don't get to play that game, but hey, it happens. I mean, it's pretty common for teams to only finish with 161 games or whatever, you know?
Yeah. I mean, odds are for me, it's not going to matter. But if you had to have an extra game, that's pretty much best case scenario, just be playing a team that's out of it and their season's wrapped up and they have to fly, you know, a couple hours just to play a one game set with you.
And I think, you know, Snit said, you know, they played Wednesday night in a steady drizzle of rain. It was bad. The whole game was bad. And they've had to put all the diamond dry down. They did it like 4 times during the game. They brought the tractors out at one point during the game and did the whole info during the game. But Snit said they still made the right decision because at the time the forecast was for just as bad the next day. So if they had not played Wednesday night, there was a chance if the forecast held, they wouldn't get but one game in. Then you would be screwed.
Yeah.
You know? So at least they got the game in, and you know, there's no way they had of knowing how bad the rain was going to be the next day and try to play two on getaway day. Plus they'd have been playing 2 games on getaway day before coming out here. So,
yeah,
you know, I agree with them. They did the right thing. Even though it was a sloppy field that night, they could not play yesterday. He said it was because the field was so soaked and saturated from the night before. They put the tarp down overnight. Field really couldn't dry at all.
Yeah.
You know, 'cause it kept raining. And today, when they put more diamond dry down, or yesterday, more diamond dry on top of that, he said there was no base. It was just like mud underneath. So once you got through that diamond dry, he said it was like playing on a, it would have been like playing on a beach.
Yeah.
And then underneath is just mud. And so then they would have been worried about guys getting hurt.
Yeah. And that's a nightmare. Big leaguers are used to such nice fields.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's why those Latin shortstops are so good, because they grow up playing on terrible fields.
Yeah.
But I think once big leaguers get comfortable with those predictable hops, you throw them on a sloppy infield, I mean, it just could turn into an ugly game. And
yeah,
guys can get their footwork messed up and hurt something. So I think they played it right.
Yeah, it's funny. You talk about that. People don't realize how pristine major league fields are. And I'm reminded of it every spring when, like, a guy will have a couple of errors in a game or something, and Snit or someone else will talk about how bad the infields are at spring training because they get baked in the sun and all that. Because the average person looking at the field at spring training would go, oh my God, it's beautiful. It's like so much better than our high school field or, you know, the college field I played on. You know, they all look the same to them. Yeah, but it's that subtle difference. It's so obvious to a major leaguer.
To a little bit, man. I mean,
because the conditions are so perfect. Yeah, the best groundskeepers in the world.
It's all perfect.
Like golf courses, you know, like the major golf courses, the difference between those and Muni courses, you know?
Yeah, it's like a Ferrari, from a Kia to a Ferrari when you go from the minor league fields to the major league fields.
You don't have to worry about bad hops for the most part in the infield on the major league fields. Sometimes it'll hit the lip or whatever, but not very often. Eric, let's hear from today's sponsors.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
So, by the way, the Phillies, they lost yesterday. They keep doing the Braves favors.
Yeah.
But they lost a game. They're the first NL team in the modern era to trail by 7 runs in a game but end up winning by 9. I said they won. I shouldn't say they lost. They won that game yesterday.
Well, they won.
Yeah, against the Cubs. The Cubs lost 17-8 in a game. They led the Phillies 7-0 and lost 17-8.
Oh, God.
That's amazing. Phillies are first NL team in the modern era to trail by 7-plus runs in a game and end up winning by 9-plus. Anytime you're the first in the modern era to do something like that, I mean, that's
– Well, normally once you're down 7-2, you start bringing in the B squad, you know, out of the pen. You're not, it usually just gets bigger because you're kind of almost throwing up the white flag and planning on having your horses ready for tomorrow. So, but yeah, that doesn't happen too much.
And if it had been an normal expanded roster before, you know, with the 35 guys on it or whatever, you'd have been seeing all those guys pitch for.
Yep.
But yeah, the Phillies pulled that off. So they got gained a half game on the Braves yesterday when the Braves didn't play. I thought the Cubs had been playing a lot better too.
Yeah.
But man, that'll set you back losing that game. Jeez. Braves, here's a stat that's a little troubling. Oh, while I was thinking about it, have you watched this Mets thing, the 30 for 30 yet, the 4-part?
I'm going to.
Oh my God, you got to watch it. Do yourself a favor and watch it on ESPN Plus, because as far as I know, they've kept in the F-bombs on there. And I watched it last night again on ESPN because I had it on in the hotel. They cut out all the F-bombs. So it's like Lenny Dykstra says fuck about 1,000 times in the 4-part show. And when you delete his, when you censor him, and it's a bunch of other guys too, Keith Hernandez, they all drop F-bombs. And when you censor that out of it, it changes the whole. It's not nearly as real and gritty as it is when, because Dykstra is, his interviews are, dude, you'll be on the floor laughing.
Yeah.
He's the funniest shit you've ever seen out there.
Was Roger in it much? Have you watched
Roger's the whole thing? Not in it much, but he's in it when he pitched the five great innings in that huge game. Might have been the greatest World Series game. He's in a little bit, but the big stars in it are Keith Hernandez. Lenny Dykstra steals the character. So he's so far, and he has abused himself, man.
Nails.
But he's funny. Some of the things he says, oh my God. He
calls himself Nails. But
it's four parts, and it's like, I mean, they could have just done it in two hour parts, or they just split it up into 4 1-hour segments. But my God, it's good stuff, man. It's so kind. You know, and to see the spiraling of Strawberry and Gooden and all that, and Gooden missing their parade because he's doing coke with some people he didn't even know on Long Island, watching it on TV, going, this is a low point in my life, you know?
Yeah. Just
watching his teammates celebrate while he's in a
can't get den, off the couch. Know? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's remarkable, really, the whole thing. They do some history of the Mets and all that, and all leading up to it, how bad they were and everything. And they got great footage. Dude, the celebration that happened after they clinched the, LCS and the World Series then, after they clinched the pennant is remarkable. After they clinched, period, to get in. And the people stormed the field like they do at a college football game. The field is covered in people, and they're pulling up grass. Afterwards, the field was destroyed. Big, big squares of grass are pulled up. They pulled the home plate out of the dirt with like security and everything.
Somebody tried to steal it, huh?
They did. They got it out. It was like with concrete underneath it, and they got it out. But it's unbelievable. None of that would happen today.
No.
And then they marched like when they had a chance to clinch, when they got close to clinching next time, they had like 80 horseback cops came out on the warning track before the ninth inning. So it ain't going to happen again. But it was amazing when they clinched, what happened, how the celebration. But
I gotta watch
good stuff. But watch it on ESPN Plus though, and you'll see Lenny in his full glory.
I can't wait.
They're talking about how cocky, how much swagger they had. You know, they go, "We're gonna go into your town. We're gonna fuck your women. We're gonna take care. We're gonna take, you know." But Lenny was talking about how badass they all felt they were, how cocky they were.
Yeah,
and he said, yeah, I didn't mind walking around acting like I had a 15-inch bleep.
There's some really good photos of those guys, too, chilling in the dugout. You know, they look so hungover, and they're smoking cigarettes, and they're going to go out and win that day.
Oh, they partied every night, man. Davey's like, as long as they got there, ready to play. I mean, they were out every night on the road and in New York. I mean, New York was like hopping back then, you know? And they were in the clubs. I mean, they were down at one guy who I forgot who was going to CBGB all the time. I mean, it was like,
I wonder, you know, crazy. People compare the different eras and, you know, everybody throws 99 now and you couldn't hang with these guys. And they look back at clips from the 80s and 90s and they want to say this guy couldn't play, you know, today's game. But I'm like, that you couldn't hung with those dudes.
Oh,
and,
no.
And they still strapped it on and played every day.
Exactly.
It's just a different, it's just a different world now. It's, you know, I mean, missing the parade because you're strung out, you know, from partying too hard the night before. Yeah. That wasn't a first time thing. He still went out and probably could have won. I mean, if Doc Gooden came up in today's game, he'd be throwing 104. You know, eating healthy, doing all that stuff right. You know, I mean, it's mainly just the training's different. It's not necessarily.
He did what he did while spiraling on coke.
At 40%. At 40% capacity, he was doing what he was doing.
Strong too, man.
Yeah, all of them.
They were talking to, oh my God, that team they were talking about, how Cash had blew up the team. You know, at the end, they had, Ray Knight was getting old for her. Keith Hernandez was getting old. He was traded to the Cardinals eventually. But at the time, their four leaders, they showed them, two of them were old and they would be done within a few years. And two of them were addicts.
Yep.
They were the guys in their early 20s,
yep.
Doc and Straw.
And I just Guys just don't do that anymore. You know, they get their
Ray
sleep.
Knight and Hernandez were the two leaders of the team. Like that, like keep guys in order, you know, get the fuck over here. And then Gary Carter was the only clean living guy of the bunch, the kid, you know, and he was for real. He was that clean, but they, it's just fascinating. It really is. It's good stuff. I would highly recommend it.
I'm going to watch it tonight or tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, here we go. Here's a troubling stat to me. The Braves past 9 losses, 6 have been by 1 run and the others by 2 runs. And it underscores why this is not a good development. They put Luke Jackson on the paternity list yesterday, reinstated Chris Martin from the IL. Chris Martin had 1 rehab appearance. He had right elbow inflammation, pitched really poorly at the end before he went on the IL September 2nd. Had 1 rehab appearance at Gwinnett, clean inning, 2 groundouts, 1 flyout. But Luke has been their best pitcher lately, their best reliever. Yep. I mean, he's pitched great. He's pitched great all season, but especially like last 20 appearances, he's been unbelievable, man. So you hope that she has the baby in a hurry and he's here because he hasn't missed a game yet. And I think Darno was on the paternity list like 3 days. So it obviously just depends on how quick she gives birth. So, but then he's got to fly out here.
Sometimes it takes 3 days.
Right. And then he's going to have to fly out here. We're on the West Coast, not like at home when they were at home and Darno was on it. So we'll see. But Luke, they can't really afford to go along without him as well as he's pitched. That bullpen is, they've gotten beat up all year unfairly because the bullpen has been pretty solid.
They've been good.
Yeah. But here's a typical case. So they lost 3-2 and 10 innings on Wednesday, second game of that Rocky series. Braves go 1-for-10 with runners in scoring position. And the bullpen comes in after Enoa gives up 2 runs in 4 2/3. The bullpen goes 5 1/3 innings. They don't give up a single hit until the 10th inning. Mentor gives up a hit. You know, they start the inning with the runner at second base.
Yep.
So they lose. It's an unearned run. And everybody, you know, some people on Twitter are shitting on the bullpen. I'm like, are you kidding me? They went 5 1/3 innings without giving up a hit until that 1 hit by Mentor.
That's the life of a bullpen guy.
You did as well as you can possibly pitch, really, in that game.
Well, you're talking about losing 3, 4, 5, 6 games by 1 or 2 runs, that's normally because your bullpen did do a great job, you know, unless there's some big comeback and you lose by 1. But most of the time it's, you know, I mean, there's got to be a spotlight on the offense in those games.
Right, because they're giving you a chance and you're not pulling it out.
I mean, I heard Frenchie say it too, was they had their opportunities to win a lot of those games and the offense just got cold at a bad time.
Right. Yeah, they went from having about 6 or 7 guys hot to right now, the newcomers are really the guys that are producing. And, you know, not that Freddie and Riley have been bad lately, but Freddie's been fine. But they're not doing what they were doing, where, you know, every time Riley stepped up there, he felt like he was a threat.
Yeah.
You know, and Dansby, too. He went from hottest hidden shortstop in baseball for a month to really struggling lately. I mean, you thought Dansby, you hoped he was past the streaky part, but he's scuffling lately again. So, I mean, where would they be without the newcomers? My God, man. They've kept them afloat.
Oh, that's been a game changer. Yeah, I mean, and, you know, like with Dansby, with these guys, that just, for me, it always emphasizes how tough the game is. You know, it's you fall into one bad habit, and you can go from being one of the best hitting shortstops in the game, and everything's working out, and you're getting big knots, you know, to all of a sudden you just drop your shoulder a quarter inch, and you pop out to the warning track, or you swing and miss. You know, that's what's so tough about the season and why it's so hard to put together a good year and good numbers. And I mean, why I appreciate a guy like Freddie so much, because he finds a way to do it year in, year out. But those things change, man. And that's when you get into your slumps, and they just, when you have 2 or 3 or 4 guys get into a little funk like that at the same time, you lose some of the games that they're losing. And for what, a month and a half, they won all those games.
Yeah.
And that was a team we watched for 2 years. They won all those games. You know, it seemed like every year somebody came up with a big hit, but they didn't have it the last week or so. And bullpen did great, but the bullpen's going to get blamed because you wind up giving up. Mm-hmm. You get that L next to your name.
Yeah, you can't just do it all night. You can't go 15 innings putting up zeros waiting for the team to get a hit, you know?
Right. You might without that extra inning rule. You know, I mean, that's kind of hurt them a lot this year.
Right. With that extra inning rule, you cannot do that. You could have gone 15 innings, maybe before, but yeah. When you start up with runner second base, teams that know how to, that go for one run, you know, they just move the guy to third. Then you got two shots to get him in.
Yeah. And I feel like for some reason, I don't ever feel when it's tied, I feel like the home team plays for one run, but I always feel like the home team in those situations is playing for a walk-off instead of just, you know, let's just get the guy over, get him in, and then try to win the next inning. If we can get, you got to get lucky. Like I look at it as if we can get lucky and put up a zero with a runner starting on second base next inning.
Yeah.
You know, and just go back and forth with them one run apiece versus trying to walk them off that first inning. It's tough.
So you think the visiting team goes for
one run?
Goes for, yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's a big advantage because if they get that knock.
Yep. Then the pressure's on you.
Yep. And so just getting to go first and establish that run, it puts a lot more pressure because then when you're the home team, you know, you're thinking you got to get a couple knocks to or a knock to tie it. But they always look at it as like they got to get this walk off.
Yep.
Guys put a lot more pressure on themselves when they have to hit versus if we don't get a knock, you know, maybe our reliever puts up a zero.
Yeah, I agree. It's a whole new dynamic. And mentally, I think some guys are still trying to figure out how they approach it. And teams are figuring out it. And the Braves have not done a good job with this rule for 2 years. You know, some teams go up there and bunt the guy over to third or have guys that can hit to the right side of the infield and get that guy over to third. And it's automatic.
I do Braves it every aren't time.
One of those teams. They don't do it.
And I think, I would walk that first runner a lot and try to set up a double play because that's your best chance getting out of that. I don't see too many teams do it, but I guess, that's one of the numbers things is you got a better shot of taking three shots to get a hit and get the guy in. There is a lot of strikeouts is the only reason I kind of get on that bandwagon a little bit is because if you get the sack fly and the next dude that comes up is not a contact guy,
right.
Get a punchy and you can pitch for a strikeout, runner on third and two bases open. It's a little bit more complicated than that, but I think teams just go for the hits too often. I'd rather see a runner get on third and just try to make something happen.
The game, if you'd have had this rule in the game 10, 15 years ago,
it would have been automatic.
Yeah. You know, teams would have bunted the guy over or had a guy hit to the right side of the infield, got him over, and then had a sack fly and got him in. But those skills are not really prevalent in today's game.
Yeah. Well, you don't get paid for them.
No. A lot of guys can't just hit a sack fly on cue and or even hit a ground ball to the right side of the infield and get a guy over on cue.
Yeah.
Much less bunt. Nobody bunts.
Yeah. And you got to cut the hitters a little break because the stuff's definitely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. For
maybe
sure.
Maybe pitchers aren't as accurate, but, I'd say it's going to be pretty tough to square up 98 versus 91.
Well, the fact that they're harder. Not as accurate. Makes it even harder.
Yeah.
I mean,
you might try to go throw one down and away and he might hit you in the face.
In the face. You're squaring a bunt against a guy at those 98 mile an hour, 93 slider and 100 fastball. Yeah. And he's not always sure where it's going.
There's a lot more randomness in the game today.
So another troubling stat. Atlanta fell to 4-8 in extra inning games, which for a playoff team, that's not good, man. I mean, most of the playoff teams have winning records in those situations, obviously. But 4-8 here, and here's the troubling part. It's not the bullpen. It's what they've done offensively in those spots. This is staggering. They've hit 163 with a .256 slugging percentage in extra innings.
Seven hits all year.
Seven hits and 12 extra inning games. Four of the seven hits came in one game, May 8th, the 12-inning game against Philly. Three hits in the other games.
So whatever it is about that, it's tough.
So you might want to think about manufacturing for sure. Doing whatever you can to get that one run. Mentor came in. Mentor's pitched a lot better lately. So, the bullpen's okay right now. They could use Rich Rod to get on that kind of run that he was on when he first got over here. But he's had a couple of outings where he looks like he's getting back on good footing. But that hasn't been the problem lately. It's really hasn't been a pen. So
what's so tough about it is Mentor threw the ball well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they got the runner to third with one out, and then the Braves had to go infield in. The dude hit the ball hard up the middle, but it's a play a guy might make, you know, if he's playing back and nobody starts inning at second, you don't have to put the infield in. Giving up a leadoff double, you know, as a reliever is almost, you know, the mindset I was taught was just concede that run, unless it's a one-run game, but minimize the damage and keep it to that. You almost forget about that guy, and instead it's a go-ahead run every time to kick off the inning. I don't really know how I would fare in those situations, because I almost always gave up one hit or one walk or something and then worked my way through an inning. There's no room for error at all.
So, yeah.
Tough spot for a reliever.
It's like giving up, like you said, a leadoff double. You're starting the inning like that.
My mindset every time I gave up a leadoff double was, well, you know, odds are that guy's scoring. You know, make some pitches, try to keep it to one, you know, unless it was a tie game or that was a go-ahead run. Then you start pitching for strikeouts and trying to get out of it. But you're so much better just accepting that that guy's going to score and just making pitches and making sure it doesn't turn into a two or a three spot. But when it's a tie game and extras and he just starts there, you know, I mean, that makes it really tough.
And here's the other one besides 4-8 and extra inning games. And this one is really, this is almost unfathomable. The Braves are 1-10 in games that were tied entering the ninth inning, tied after the eighth inning, 1-10. I mean, Arizona, that's the worst in the majors. Arizona's the next worst, and they're 4-11. Braves have won one game like that this year that was tied entering the ninth inning.
And they won them. They probably went 9-1 if it was, you know, last 2 years before this.
Yeah.
But, I mean,
yeah,
if you go 5-5 in those games, it's pretty much wrapped up right now.
It's a reversal of what they were, they've been, their MO in the last few years. Guys, let's take a quick break and then we'll finish up the show. We went over this a few podcasts ago about how bad they've hit in late and close situations. The Braves with runners in scoring position, I know everybody harps on that. They're still 12th in the majors in that 258. They slipped a little bit. I mean, they're just ahead of the Dodgers at 259. They're fifth in OPS with runners in scoring position, 798. Again, just ahead of the Dodgers, 795. But Adam Duvall, that dude's been unbelievable with runners on base and with runners in scoring position. He's hitting 323 with an 1125 OPS with runners in scoring position.
Damn.
Sixth best OPS in the majors in those spots. But in late and close situations, the Braves, and this is where they were when I brought this up about a month ago, they are still last in the majors with a 188 average in late and close situations. It's hard to believe.
It's hard to do.
The D-backs are next lowest average at 197. Braves are tied for 26th in OPS in those spots, which you'd say, okay, yeah, they're not hitting for average, but they're hitting some bombs, so it's okay. No, they're 626 OPS in those spots. The only teams, they're just behind the Rangers, and the only teams that are worse with the OPS in late and close, Tigers, D-backs, and Pirates. That's not a group you want to be in offensively.
Well, I guess the way you could look at it, though, is shit's got to even out, you know?
you'd hope.
If you're one of those guys, you got to figure, you know, we couldn't keep this up if we tried.
Yeah. And the problem is that they've had, it's kind of been across the board. Like all their good hitters that have been, you know, great in so many situations just aren't in those late and close situations. I don't know if this guy's trying to do too much. That's usually the case, you know, guys.
Usually,
But you would never guess who their leader is on the team in OPS in late and close situations. I bet you wouldn't guess. Try.
Shit, I don't know, because you said I'd never guess.
Jock Peterson.
I might have guessed that, honestly, but you said I'd never guess it.
Yeah, so I threw you off. He's at 846 OPS late and close. That's 39th in the majors. They don't have anyone higher in OPS in those situations. And he spent, of course, half the season with the Cubs, more than half. Their next highest OPS in late and close, Ozzie Albies, 772, which is 55th in the majors. Then you go to Jorge Soler at 770, and he's been half his season with Kansas City or more, 100 games. Austin Riley is at 230. He's hit 236, 748 OPS late and close. Freddie Freeman, he's hit 232 with a 721 OPS in late and close. Not what you would expect, man.
That'll level out.
Yeah.
I think.
If not, maybe the playoffs.
That's what I'm saying is I think once you get these guys to the playoffs too, they'll kick into another gear because – not saying the regular season's a lull and they're trying to win the division still, but it'll be a different atmosphere once they get to the playoffs. But, you know, you got to kind of right the ship before then, too. Those are some ugly numbers.
It explains, though, those numbers, though, in games tied in early ninth inning and obviously extra inning, your record in extra innings. I mean, that explains it right there when you don't have anybody really breaking in those situations. By the way, Adam Duvall and Dansby Swanson are both near the bottom of the MLB qualifiers in late and close. Duvall hitting.
I wouldn't have called that.
No, because the way Duvall's hit with runners in scoring position, you would think it would just carry over to other clutch situations late and close.
I feel like he hits a lot of big knocks in the third through fifth inning now that you say that, though, because it's normally like a three-run homer, third, fourth, fifth, that
puts him ahead.
You know, that's just as important, you know, opens the game up or gets him back in it. But yeah.
And I mean,
I always think of Dansby as pretty clutch, too.
Everybody has for years. It's like a fairly small sample size, but it's not that small. I mean, you're this deep in the season. Duvall's hitting 158 with a 548 OPS and 57 at-bats late and close. Dansby's hitting 161 with a 540 OPS and 56 at-bats in those situations. So, anyway, we'll see. But it doesn't bode well for scoring a lot of runs in late, after the seventh inning when you're in a close game when nobody's really excelling in those spots.
Good news, you got the bullpen to take the heat if they give up one.
And they will take the heat. Yeah. And you watch if our boy Luke gives up runs, they shit all over him if he has one bad outing. Here we go. That's the same old Luke I'm used to. Never mind that he's had a whole season where he's been good.
Yeah. That's just how it is as a reliever. I remember my mom used to hate Heathcliff Slocum. She just lost it every time he came in the game, whether he was good or bad. But that's the only reason I remember the relievers, because my mom just couldn't stand it. You know, she thought he was going to blow it every time he came in.
Yeah.
And it's like when you get that tag on you or people feel that way about you, every time you do well, they just kind of breathe a sigh of relief and then watch the stars play. But every time you come in and blow it, you know, it's like confirmation. It's like, I knew it. I knew he was going to do it. And it with Luke, I don't know. It's followed him around for a while. He's had some pretty good years. Well, I don't think it's going away.
I mean, he's having a career. It'll go away if he goes to another team.
Yeah.
That's when Braves he starts thing there. Now. I mean, and there's plenty of Braves fans that appreciate what he's done. I've said it on Twitter and all that. But you look at his numbers, man. He's having one of the better years of any reliever.
Yeah.
That's in the league. His ERA is going to be up below two with another couple of good outings. He's right above two right now in ERA, and he's like, you know, pitched almost 60 times.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, and then you go to a new team and you get off to a bad start. Yeah. It'll take 2 years to shake that. If you have a bad April with Boston, you know, it's like that's just how it is as a reliever. You have to learn as a reliever to just do your job and know that your teammates appreciate you and not not check in online too much.
And I think he's good in that regard.
Yeah.
We'll get him on the podcast again, maybe before the season's over, after he's had a kid.
I wouldn't put that on him after having a kid.
We might have probably missed our opportunity. this last start by Tukey, man, I don't know what to make of this season that he's having, but he had an opportunity when Smiley fell on his face, you know, and they gave Tukey this fifth spot, and he's made three starts and struggled. And I think he's frittered away that opportunity to really nail that spot down. And I think they were going to turn probably to Smiley, but somebody else was going to get that start Sunday if it had not gotten made unnecessary by the rain out. But they're going to need him during this. They're going to need a fifth starter during this road trip. So somebody's going to have to get the call. And Tukey is really, you know, it's like Snit said, I always say if Tukey can get the ball over the plate and force swings, he's got a chance to be really effective. Because you've talked about his stuff is so good.
It's so good.
But when he doesn't throw strikes and people can spit on it, you know, it's like when they make him throw strikes and he doesn't do it, it can get ugly.
I think he just needs that go down in flames mindset, you know, and that's what's tough when you're up and down and not establishing yourself is you're questioning every start if it's going to be your last, you know, so there's so much more pressure. I mean, that's what I've talked about in the past. It'd be great for him to be with a team that's rebuilding right now.
Yeah.
And him knowing I'm getting five more starts after this one. So when he gets first and second, one out in the third inning and it turns into a four spot right now. Mm-hmm. It's him trying to be perfect and not give it up, you know, to stay on the team, stay in the rotation. There's so much more riding on it for him than if you're with a team that's out of it and they're just like, look, man, you're getting four more starts. Learn how to get out of this, take your lumps. It's really tough development-wise, the position he's in.
Yeah.
But you have to figure it out. You know, nobody feels sorry for you. You're getting a shot to pitch in the major leagues.
With a contender, with a division leader.
Yeah.
Yeah, he Tuesday's game, he gave up two homers and four runs in the first five innings. And he came out after giving up the second of those homers with none out in the fifth. So he didn't get any outs in the fifth.
Yeah.
And they lost 5-4. So he's had three September starts, pitched a total of 10 innings, went three innings in the other two. 10 innings, given up 12 hits, 12 runs, 9 of them earned, 7 walks, 4 homers. Not good.
No. And that's another one of those things, too, is like, you know, if you wind up trading him and he goes off, you know, he goes to Texas or he goes to, you know, somewhere like the East and West Coast, he goes to San Francisco and has this crazy year, you know, he might not have turned into that guy here because.
Yeah.
It's also hard to shake that here we go again tag that gets placed on you. You know, like Kyle Wright's got it on him. If Kyle Wright comes up and has two good starts, everybody's still just waiting for him to fail. And I feel like Tukey's gotten pretty deep into that territory.
Lucas Sims was in that.
Sims was in it. He went somewhere else and he messed up, started pointing fingers at the Braves and saying they didn't. You know, it's like
they can't develop pitchers.
You don't need to say that. But he's a good dude, you know, from what I've read. But. And been around him. But, you know, with Tukey, he's creeping into that territory where as soon as he has that one bad start, everybody's going to expect him to have another bad one. And what you can't let happen is you can't start thinking that yourself. You know, you have to be able to shake it off, say that was a bad one, make the adjustments you need to make and keep trucking. But it's really hard when you're worried about getting sent down, you're worried about losing your rotation spot. I think, you know, guys just put so much pressure on themselves to be perfect in his position. And it's tough for him.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen it so many times. A lot of times it takes a fresh start. And I mean, we've even seen it happens where guys end up signing a minor league contract with somebody else. Guys that are out of options go somewhere with a minor league contract. There's no pressure. They just go and they're pitching in AAA on a minor league deal, having a great year. Then they get called up and boom, it's a different guy. I mean, they're not pitching with that pressure, that yoke of, you know, of expectations and of being a former first round pick and all that. I think he still feels that he's a former first round pick. And here we are 7 years into his, I think it's 7 years into his pro career. And he really hasn't established himself at the big league level yet, even though he's had two or three games here, game here, you know, where he's looked dynamite, like a first round pick.
He's got the stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, every time he's locked in, the swings and misses he gets, his fastball beats guys. His fastball is not straight. It's moving all over the place, which, you know, makes it harder to throw strikes. But almost every one of his starts is, I think, is when I'm watching it, I'm like, this is going to be dictated by how patient the other team is here. If they make him work, they can get him. But if they come out and try to be aggressive, his stuff's going to beat him. And they have to make him grind. And that's another lesson that I don't think you can learn in AAA because nobody can handle your stuff. So they have to cheat and they have to do more. And you wind up catching a lot of the breaks that he's not catching in the majors.
Yeah, that's the fallacy that people have when guys go down to AAA and all of a sudden they're pitching great or hitting great and go, he's figured some things out in AAA. It's time to bring him back. I'm like, that doesn't mean anything. I mean,
it doesn't. B-Mac's got the best quote on that of all time. I think it was 2009. We were in St. Louis and we were talking about AAA this and AAA that. And we were going to call some guy up and everybody's excited about him. I can't remember the story, but you know, this same type of conversation. And he's like, yeah, but you can't learn that lesson in AAA. He goes, people think, you know, it's AAA is AAA. And then there's bottom, you know, 4A is the major leagues. It's like 4A, 5A. He's like, Albert Pujols isn't playing 4A or 5A. He's playing 75A, you know? And so you don't run into guys like without a higher league to get called up to. Mike Trout, these guys in the middle of the order, Joey Votto's, that can just completely just wreck you.
Yeah.
You know, you face one dude in AAA that's in the same boat you're in. He's trying to get to the majors in the middle of the lineup. And then you got the 7, 8, 9 journeymen, you know? So you don't face like a whole team of guys that are playing 5A, 9A, 12A, 16A, 75A. You just face 3A and maybe 4A. And so you have to be in the majors to learn a lot of these lessons. And that's what makes it tough, is you got to be here to do it. But if the team's trying to win, you fail, you go back and play against that lesser competition. And people think you figured it out when maybe you just went to an easier league.
Yeah. No doubt. It can be frustrating for everybody involved.
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see where the Braves turn for that number five. But there's not a lot of good options like there used to be, you know, when you had some guys on the rise or that were all pitching well, that kind of thing.
And there's not the roster spot, you know, to have Moeller, Davidson, guys just waiting, you know, because you throw Tukey out there for two innings. If he gets in any trouble, he gets yanked.
Yeah.
A guy gets to come in and try to clean it up and maybe earn his spot. There's not that tryout roster spot to have to see if somebody could contribute.
Yeah. I think they might be better off doing it as a bullpen game because there's only 19 games left. It's not like you're going to have to do a lot. You don't have to do it a couple times. They might be better off doing it that way, you know?
Yeah.
You know, whether that's run Smiley out there and assume if he struggles at all, get him out of there.
Next guy. You know,
might end up be what they have to do, which they've got one extra reliever right now, you know, so or two.
Enoa's looked good. Enoa's been been throwing the ball well.
Yeah, he has. I think you can tell the difference in that he doesn't have quite the stamina he had before, so he kind of falters maybe in that fourth, fifth inning, but the stuff is there. He just doesn't maintain it as long as he did before he got hurt.
Yeah.
But he's still got a few weeks to get it together before.
Even if you can get a solid five out of him in the playoffs, you got extra off days. You can go to the pen earlier.
I like the rotation.
I feel good about his spot.
Yeah. And Ian Anderson and Fried have both gotten some rest and that kind of thing. So nobody's showing signs of fatigue. So just that fifth spot's one struggling. But you don't have to use it a couple more times. So we'll see. But all right, we got Giants starting tonight here in San Francisco. Three games here, then four in Arizona, then three in San Diego.
Need to clean up in Arizona.
They better. San Diego is not playing well lately either, but we'll see.
No, but they're tough, and that's a tough place to go.
Tough place to go, yeah. All right, well, 7:55 is real. We will talk again on Monday or Tuesday.
Sounds good.
We're out.